Several weeks ago, at a Texas Ranger home game against the Yankees, Mitch Moreland of the Rangers, after making an inning-ending catch, flipped the baseball into the stands as he was heading into the dugout. He directed the ball at a toddler in a Ranger baseball cap, but it was intercepted by a young couple sitting next to the toddler's family. While the couple celebrated and snapped pictures of themselves holding the ball, the toddler wept hysterically as his mother tried, without much success, to comfort him. The act so outraged Yankee announcer Michael Kay that he called the couple cruel and heartless for not giving the ball to the child. The image of the weeping toddler in his tiny baseball cap made ESPN's baseball highlights that night and immediately went viral. It also provoked the most serious crises in the Peterson household, since my wife Anita told me I was jinxing my poor Pirates and should quit watching their games. Anita is a retired grade school teacher, so warm-hearted and caring that after all these years, she still receives letters and compliments from her former students. I'm a retired English professor with the heart of the Grinch and the disposition of Grumpy after spending so many years teaching literary classics that always seem to end unhappily ever after. When Anita saw the highlight on ESPN, her heart went out to the toddler. As for the gloating couple, she couldn't believe that anyone could be that mean until she remembered who was sitting next to her on the couch. She said she'd have happily given the ball to the kid, but wanted to know what I would have done. Without hesitation, I told her I'd have kept the ball. In my defense, I pointed out that when I was growing up in Pittsburgh and going out to Ford's Field to watch Pirate games, a Major League Baseball was the greatest prize imaginable, but not as a keepsake. If any of my baseball buddies got his hands on a baseball at a Pirates game, we played with it until the cover came off, and we'd tape it up and play some more until we knocked the stuffing out of the ball. The odds of one of us catching a foul ball during a game were remote, and no ball player ever threw a ball into the stands in those days because he'd risk a fine from management. So if we wanted Major League Baseballs, we had to use our working-class cunning to get them. The best way of getting our hands on a baseball was to go out to Ford's Field when the gates first opened and sit in the left field bleachers during batting practice. Since there were very few fans who came out to the ballpark that early, we had little competition in shagging balls that were hit by batters into the bleachers. By the time batting practice ended, we usually had a slightly used baseball or two bulging from our pockets. Barring a miracle foul ball during the game, the next real opportunity to get a baseball came after the game was over. In those days, fans could go onto the field at the end of a game, stroll along the foul areas, and if the ushers weren't looking, even sneak down into the dugouts, where sometimes there'd be a ball or two under the dugout bench. If we were lucky, we'd head back home with enough baseballs to keep us playing until the next Pirates homestand. I could tell that Anita wasn't buying yet another of my "when I was growing up in Pittsburgh, we were so poor, we ate dirt" stories. She just shook her head and said that I must hate the ending of How the Grinch Stole Christmas because the Grinch returns the stolen presents to the residents of Whoville. I told her that if I were the Grinch, I'd have checked to see if there are any baseballs before I took the presents back. This is Pete Peterson for Reading Baseball.